Last week we began a series in which we're talking about spiritual disciplines. If that's an unfamiliar term to you, it's the idea of these exercises, these disciplines that we go through to try to grow our faith, remain faithful, and to help encourage others as well. Last week we talked about the idea of silence and solitude. And I heard a lot of people come up to me on Sunday morning after I was done presenting that sermon, and all the introverts flocked to me. And I said, "My people, you've come." The idea, like, yeah, I love just getting away by myself and being in darkness and not talking to anyone. And I'm like, I know what that feels like. Having this profession of being a preacher is sometimes for me difficult because I know that I get my source of strength and my batteries recharge when I'm off by myself, usually just reading the scriptures or listening to a podcast or doing my own thing. And so if you're looking for when I am most drained of my social energy, it's right after I'm done preaching and all the floods of people are there, and I'm right there by that welcome center. So if you need to see me, that's where I am, usually trying to keep a four-year-old entertained for 5 or 10 minutes. So this week, though, talking about a spiritual discipline, one that should be quite obvious to many of us is the idea of, you can call it Bible study, you can call it just study, but a particular phrase or a word that I love to use when talking about this is the idea of meditation. And unfortunately, when we think of meditation in our context and our community today, we think about someone who's sitting crisscross applesauce is the new politically correct way to say it. That's not what I called it when I grew up, but crisscross applesauce and your hands are connected and you're chanting something and you're trying to clear your mind. And as we go through this particular study this morning, you'll see how the Bible does not encourage us to clear our mind, but to fill our mind with something very special. You might be able to guess what it is, right? So the idea of study or meditation in God's Word in the Scriptures is going to be our topic of discussion this morning. So as we begin, let's go back into what we had as our Scripture reading, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's begin, though, in verse 10. Can you all read that? I try really hard every week, guys. You know, it looks different on a computer screen than on these TVs. So I try my best. It does get larger as we go on, as I always promise every week. So I'm trying, y'all. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4. For a little bit of context here, we're looking at 1 Timothy, which is a letter or an epistle written by the Apostle Paul to his protege, if you will, a young preacher named Timothy. He's really young. He's like probably 30. Which is just, it was funnier when I was 20-year-old saying that he was a young preacher, but I'm getting older. So anyway, he's writing to this young preacher, and he's given some instruction on what to expect from the congregation that he will go and minister to. And in chapter 4, we're kind of getting towards the meat of now Paul talking as a preacher and apostle to a younger preacher to carry on that work of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, some things that he ought to do. And sometimes what we can do if we're not careful is read our situation into the situation of the first century. We can just read it and say, well, we do that on Sunday mornings. We read the scriptures and we talk about things. And their context is a bit different. Again, early first century church, and we're looking at how they would go to encourage and then to instruct these new Christians. This is a brand new concept to many, many people. So, 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 10, "For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially or particularly of those who believe. Command these things." That's the first kind of thing that's encouraged for him to do. Command and teach these things, the gospel of Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world, accessing him by obeying his commandments through the grace of our Lord. That's the first kind of imperative, literally, in the text in verse 11. "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set to the believers an example in speech, and conduct and love and faith and purity. So we have five areas or spheres of influence that Timothy has for those that he would minister unto to set an example for them to follow in what he says, how he lives, how he loves in his faith of Jesus and in purity of, you might say, his moral standards. So he's given this instruction to go, command, teach the gospel, be an example. In verse 13, until I come, so Paul's planning to visit the work that Timothy is doing, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Now, keeping in mind here, this is a context in which not everyone, or literally no one, had a copy of the scroll of the Hebrew Bible the way that we have copies of the Old and New Testament today. I mean, just for a moment, let me just expound about how special of a time is that we live. You have a Bible that you can carry with you anywhere you go, and you can reference it, and you can read it, and you can study it any opportunity. That was not the world in which they lived in the first century. If you wanted a copy of Scripture, you either, for the New Testament, had a copy that someone wrote for you of a letter from an apostle or an early follower of Jesus, or you had to go to a synagogue and open up the scrolls of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, to read about the prophecies and the information contained therein. So Paul is trying to encourage Timothy about the benefits of practicing before the congregation, before an assembly, the importance of reading Scripture or the writings of the Word of God. Now, many of you have paper Bibles. Is that a thing that you are familiar with? Okay, Gen Zers, you have a phone, don't you? That's always the problem, is if you have the Gen Zers, you have the millennials, like my generation, we're so used to using an electronic Bible, the paper Bible is a relic of days gone by, right? So there we go. Whatever you've got, you have access to Scripture. If you have Wi-Fi connection, you can go to Bible Gateway and see any version you want that's available in your own language. So he's encouraging Timothy to show people by example how significant the reading of the Bible is. So devote yourself to the reading, the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to encouragement, and to teaching or doctrine, the idea of what you teach from the Scriptures that God has actually said. He then says in verse 14, do not neglect the gift that you have. So in the first century, they had an ability to have miraculous gifts that they could use. Don't neglect your gift, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. So it seems like the council of elders here were those that were encouraging Timothy to use the gift of prophecy that he got, no doubt from probably Paul, to prophetically utter the word of God in an inspired way. And we're reading inspired words in this actual text today. So the same thing is talked about in context. Verse 15, practice these things. Now that word practice there in the English, we have the idea of practice, meaning like do it, actually follow through with action. We also have a sense in which the idea of practice is used by multiple repetitions of something. Now, in my house, sports is not a real thing. If you know me at all, you'll say, well, who do you support in football? I'm like, I don't know, man. I grew up in the East Coast of Virginia. I didn't know college football was even a thing that people cared about. We were all about Redskins, or whatever they're called now, and Cowboys. That was the rivalry. And then I went to Memphis, Tennessee, and apparently people just out of habit, Roll Tide, Roll Tide, Roll Tide, wherever they go. I'm like, you guys care about 18-year-old football players? Like, you care about that? I had no idea. But in our house, the only sport we actually use, I'm a little embarrassed by this, it's Frisbee, okay? Listen, I grew up in our trailer park. We didn't have a whole lot of fields that we could play sports in, but we had the road that you play in, and you throw Frisbee back and forth until the lights come on, then you go inside. So Frisbee, I'm decent at. And so our kids are pretty good at Frisbee. Maddie can throw it properly, and she can hold on to it, and she can aim at you and get it to you. That's great. The other one, I love him so much, but that little guy, he's little. He's got a Frisbee in his hand. He holds it the right way, but his body's not long enough to actually get the torque on it. So he has to take it and wrap it around his neck and then turn and then just with all his might and momentum just chuck it and hope it goes somewhere close to where I am. And so he's a little discouraged about throwing a Frisbee. And so what do we often say? Practice makes perfect. And so when you look at this in verse 15, and Paul is encouraging Timothy to devote himself to build up, to encourage, to instruct these early Christians, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. That's one of my favorite phrases here, because you can be a casual Bible student. You can. You can come to church enough to know some of the stories and to know some verses and to know some theological points and some doctrine or teachings of the church. But unless you are fully immersing yourself in being a student of God's Word, there are some things that are more nuanced, that are more difficult to parse out in Scripture. Immerse yourself in them, Paul tells Timothy, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself, personally, purity, and the teaching, what you're instructing the churches. Persist in this. Why? What's the benefit? Because by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's the responsibility of someone who is instructing the Word of God, to remain pure yourself, first and foremost, and then to save those that hear what you say is the Word of God. Now, if we look over into the Bible, talking about the idea of meditating or thinking about or reading Scripture, you can just throw a dart anywhere in your Bible and you're going to find a verse about it. So what I wanted to do was just focus on that word meditate and show you how often it pops up, especially in the book of Psalms. So Psalm 63, verses 2 through 7, I gave you enough context here to see that it's not just randomly scattered in here. It leads up to a point and then meditation is hit. So here's an example for you. Psalm 63, beginning in verse 2, "So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory." So the psalmist here is reflecting on God, because I've been in your presence. "Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless or thank your name as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips." The psalmist here is saying, I know who you are. Because of who I have seen in my Creator, I can't help but to praise your name, because you take care of me, you protect me, you guide me, you lead me. And then verse 6, "When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." It's almost so small you might miss it if you're not paying attention. The idea of him saying, I've thought about God, I've seen God, and when I lay my head on my pillow, I think about you, and I try to meditate on you in the watches of the night. Focusing on God, who he is, how he describes himself, we access that not by going to the temple in Jerusalem. We access that by opening up his word and learning about who God is, what our world is, who we are as image bearers of God in this world, in his name, and then trying to reflect upon that and grow from it. So meditation is a consistent theme in Scripture. Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old." If David's writing this, how would David have access to what God did in the past? Well, if he was inspired, then he could have a vision or a dream. But As a king of Israel, he was required to by hand copy the Hebrew Bible by his own hand, to have a copy of it near to his reign, near to his rule. And so he is reading Genesis to learn who God is, the same book that we have today in our own language. Verse 12, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Thinking about how God is active in King David's life, but also looking back into the past and seeing what God has done, how he has revealed himself to the world by his works. That's the thing upon which we can also meditate. And now we're going to one of my favorite passages that talks about the idea of meditation. And it's so small, I've missed it in reading it before. Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1. This is how the entire book of songs or psalms is opened. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So here's a recommendation from the psalmist about how you ought to live your life. Verse 2, instead of those kinds of people, here is how he behaves. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Torah. And on his law, he meditates. How often? Day and night. He's recommending to an ancient group of people who knew our God, you know what's good for you? How to be blessed in what you do? Think about God. Think about God. Verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. As you keep reading in Psalm 1, it's a very short psalm, he contrasts this kind of person who will be blessed in what he does to those who don't do that. This dichotomy, the showing the two extremes of these kinds of people and how God views them, is interesting to us because we see the blessings inherent in being involved in studying and knowing the Word of God. So as we think about the idea of meditation and using the Word of God to meditate on the principles we learn contained in this book, I mentioned the idea that when we think of meditate nowadays, it's the idea of sitting crisscross applesauce, having your fingers do this for whatever reason that gives you. I still can't figure it out, but that's the thing. And then trying to empty your mind, trying to think about nothing. Allow your thoughts to come and go and then let them go away and then try to clear your mind. That can have some real benefit, no doubt about it. But the biblical idea of meditation is not trying to empty your mind, but to fill your mind with the Word of God. Big difference. Now, you can achieve peace and calmness and lessen anxiety by trying to get rid of those anxious thoughts, but the biblical concept of meditation doesn't involve emptying your mind. It's filling it with the Word of God. Now, let's see if I did it right. How can I meditate on the Word? I didn't do it right. So it's supposed to be progressive, but here you go. Here's all 5 points. There you go. I can't figure this out. PowerPoint, man. You know? Okay. First of all, obviously, read the Word. You have access to it. You have a Bible somewhere. If you don't, I'll give you one. We have the Word of God available to us. So read it. Now, how you read it is up to you. Oftentimes, we will promote the idea of trying to read through your Bible in one full year. If that's beneficial to you, then please do that. Stay consistent. If that was a New Year resolution to you, we're kind of getting late on that. It's time to drop your New Year's resolutions. If you're still going, keep going. I'm encouraging you to do so. I can't do that, though, because I find myself reading the Bible like a novel, and I just get through it, and I've read it, and therefore done. Meditating on it implies the idea of allowing those words to fill our minds. And I can't have my mind filled by reading a novel. I can't, personally. So read it. Most importantly for me is to slow down and reflect on it. Even if it's just a single verse, just reading a verse slowing down and allowing it to fill my thoughts, to fill my mind, to reflect on it, and to draw out everything I can at that moment from those passages, that's what really works for me personally. So reading it, reflecting on it, remembering it, that's kind of key. One of the exercises that we had to learn when we were in school was the idea of memorizing scripture. I have forgotten way more than I know, but I know where things are, kinda, right? So remembering it is key. Most importantly, I think, is the idea of responding to it. If you read a verse and you're reflecting on it and you're able to know what it says word for word, but you don't follow through with what it's encouraging you to do, then what's the benefit? What's the point? And then finally, the idea of recounting it. Being able to find ways to talk to other people about the verses that are filling your mind, that are filling your life, filling your soul, and sharing what you've learned from the Word of God with others, I think is absolutely essential to the idea of meditating on the Word, putting it into practice by sharing it with those that we come in contact with. To close out our thoughts, that's our Dave slide, by the way. Dave, is that clear enough for you? Oh, you got that? Okay, as long as you got it, hey, mission accomplished. I want to give you a little preview. Here are some things that are tools that you could use. This is just my last little bit, and then I'll be done for the morning. Everybody says amen, right? Okay. Now, I don't mean this like tongue-in-cheek. I mean this sincerely. If you're someone who does not have a Bible, or a Bible that you like, or a Bible that your eyes can read. We are a congregation of people that know the book. I've got 1,000 Bibles in my library. They all mean something to me for different reasons. I'm pretty well-versed in what Bible you may like. If you need a Bible that's for you to read, to have access to, like a paper Bible, talk to me. I've got some good recommendations. I've bought a lot of Bibles over the years, and I'll tell you which ones are worth it, which ones aren't worth it, right? So if you need a Bible, let me know. Number two, this is going to be my shameless plug. There's this thing called VConnect. Have you heard of it before? If you haven't, that's okay. I'm not making fun of you at all. VConnect is our digital and sometimes in print bulletin. You know it as a church bulletin. And contained within the Connect are important things like who's leading worship and who's the elder of the quarter, because those guys, you need to know who they are. And we have articles contained in the Connect every single week. I have been prodded and poked by our secretary more weeks than I can count. Where's the article? I need the article by this day at 9 a.m., we have an article every single week written by myself, so you can skip that one. And then you can go to Blaine's, he's got one in there. And we have an elder write an article every single week. So you have three pieces of material that you could read every single week. It should be emailed to you in digital format. If you want a print copy, let Faye know, she'll give you one, right? We have the Connect, it's there for you to use for information on who to pray for, some verses to think about. The 365 Bible reading is contained therein, and we have articles written for you from which you can benefit. I'm not poking you, I'm telling you, it's a great resource that we work very hard to give to the members here so that they can grow spiritually and be meditating on the Word leading up to the beginning of the week. We worship Him together. And then I want to give you a small little preview of what we have coming in the pipeline. Title TBD, to be determined. But for my own purposes, I begin calling it the 52 Weeks of Devotion at Thomaston Road Church of Christ. This is an effort led by our most zealous elder. Can you guess who it is? He's wearing a pink blazer. Because only he could pull off a pink blazer. He says, we have a family class on Sunday mornings, and they are just eating up the information, the idea of getting more involved, having things to do with their children and grandchildren throughout the week to stay engaged and immersed in the Word of God. What can we do? And so Blaine and I put our heads together, and together we make about one brain. So we got thinking about it. And there's programs in which you have 52 verses that you go through an entire year. So 52 weeks, about a year, right? Last time I checked. So the idea here is that in January 1 of next year, we're working hard to complete it, of course, by then. We will have a booklet, a manual, a book to give to every single member of this congregation. And contained within this material, you've got 5 activities to do to interact with a verse each week. So we have 52 verses that are significant in Scripture. The first day, Monday, all you have to do is read the verse. Think about the verse. Reflect on the verse. And then with the second day, all of us, Blaine and myself, are writing articles each week about those verses. So Tuesday, you would read the article based on the verse and get our thoughts of what the verse means, its impact on the narrative, the story of Scripture. The third day, you try to memorize the verse. These are not hard verses to memorize. Genesis 1:1, many of you already know Genesis 1:1, that's the first verse, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's going to be useful to have that stored up in your memory banks to know what the first line of God's book says. The fourth day, Thursday, you interact with that verse with the idea of trying to find passages that relate to our verse of the week. Write down, list 3 other verses that relate to the verse of the week. And the fifth one, you try to see how, you write down a paragraph or a sentence at least, on how that verse changes your understanding of who God is, who you are, and how we can relate to one another. So you do that Monday through Friday for 52 weeks. It's a tool that we've designed to give to this congregation to help facilitate you growing and learning in God's Word. And so when I say it's important for us to study our Bibles as Christians, that's not really what I mean. I wanted to give you the reasons why immersing yourself in Scripture is so important. Not to guilt you because you stopped reading your Bible when you said you would in January 1. Just to reveal to all of us why the Scriptures are important, how we can use them, and some tools that we are actively working on to give to you to help your own spiritual growth and your spiritual discipline. So that's coming very soon. We'll be done definitely before January, but it will be in print January 1 for you to have. Some of you may have already caught on that if you look at the Connect for the last 6 weeks, we may have been writing some articles about some verses that may be coming to you January 1. So if you want a head start, check out the Connect, see the articles. You'll see what you'll be looking forward to in the next coming year. Spiritual discipline of studying your Bible seems so obvious and so easy to do, but we know why it's a spiritual discipline. We have to keep practicing, keep growing, keep learning. And that's my encouragement for you this week, is the importance of why the Word of God is worthy of our time and devotion. This morning, the invitation is offered to anyone who may have a need. If you are a member of the Lord's body and there's something that's discouraging you, something that we as your spiritual family in Christ can do to uplift you, to encourage you, to walk alongside you in a difficult time, we're here for you. You can come forward and talk to me for a moment or see one of our elders at the doors. If you're someone who needs to come forward for a different reason, to possibly consider the idea of obeying the gospel, that's available for you as well. That tub right there can fill up real quick, right? So the idea of what we can do as your family in Christ to encourage and support whatever need you may have, if you do have a need, respond now as we stand and we sing.